You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com. Former NHLer Mike Greenley joins us once again. Mike, let's start right with the Ennis trade, getting rid of some salary, obviously, in Pominville and Scandella. And I want to start with Scandella, who I think is a pretty effective defenseman. Obviously, they had a lot of D-men. Where do you see this trade, and how does it make the Wild better, or is there any concerns with losing Scandella?
Well, you know, Scandella had a lot of range. I always used to say that he had a lot of range with his reach, with his strength, with his speed, with his ability to carry the puck every once in a while. But just whatever that extra little factor was, he didn't have that. And or at least he hadn't had it, found it yet. And it doesn't necessarily make him expendable, but, you know, at one point you knew you had to move some guys around. And, you know, at some point you're going to have to move somebody. And so I think, yeah, you're going to lose a little bit of that. I mean, the Wild don't exactly have a lot of physical defensemen. He wasn't one of the physical guys, if you even had one. But he was more physical than a lot of them. So I guess, you know, they have a certain mold. And, you know, he was the guy that was expendable. But I think you get a guy like Ennis who – you know, obviously a skilled defenseman as well. So that kind of trade, and then as you mentioned, you know, you move some salary. That's something they desperately need to do. They trying to sign Niederreiter and Granlund. So you know, those are two very, very important pieces of the puzzle. So you know, sometimes you have to make some moves just for the purpose of taking care of business elsewhere. And but I don't know. I don't see them necessarily losing in that trade because I think they accomplished what they wanted to. And I like Ennis. He's a very skilled, very mindful defenseman.
You know, Mike, when I look at the Wild, I see a team that is quite deep and a lot of depth, but no what I would call game breakers. Is that a fair comment? If so, does it need to be addressed?
Yeah, you know, I think so. And as you know, it's tough to find those type of guys. I mean, you typically have to draft them or, you have to find them a diamond in the rough somewhere. It's tough to trade for them because if anyone knows that they have them, they keep them. So, but you know what? You can win in other ways as well. But you're right. There's guys that you hope that someday will either develop into those or something. But yeah, they don't have the type of guys that that can make a difference individually necessarily every single game. And you know, they're trying to build so that they can have third and fourth line type players that you don't just pull from the minors, the type of guys that are, you know, bona fide NHLers. And, you know, you're still kind of on the cusp of adding a few players here and there or adding guys that can make you deep all the time. And so, yeah, they're a little bit, I think they're trying to look for that. They're still trying to find that. And, hopefully they get the type of player that, you know, like Niederreiter, Coyle, Granlund, those type of guys that, you know, even a guy like Zucker, who's shown flashes of being able to open things up and make a difference. But, yeah, you're right. They don't have that extra little factor maybe, at least not yet. So you hope that someone develops into that.
Mike Greenley, analyst for the Minnesota Wild, join us. And Mike, that division right now, I think with all the moves Dallas has made, and they were a 109-point team last year, and this year, of course, missed it with some injuries and stuff. You know, with St. Louis and Minnesota and Chicago and now Nashville, like, man, that is a tough, tough division. You look at the Wild, and you know, you mentioned the two players that they got to get signed, and obviously they both filed for arbitration, so we assume that they'll get a deal one way or the other at some point. Where do you rank them right now within the division? And what do they need to come out of that division?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, you can even look at Dallas and say, they've improved. They had a pretty good season a couple years ago. And, you know, then goaltending kind of cost them, I think. But then last year they struggled. But, from a ranking perspective, boy, that's really tough. Got to think about that for a second. I mean, Chicago's still a bona fide team. You got Nashville, like as you said, that has now risen to the level of of a team that can make it through rounds and so on and so forth. You know what? St. Louis is going to be good again. You know, you got to put them at least in the third, fourth range, and that's if they're playing well. I mean, they showed signs that they could do it last year. They just didn't show the consistency down the stretch. And, you know, they need goaltending to be consistent all year round. So it's going to be interesting. And you know what? The funny thing is you can ask that same question every single year. And I'm sure that, you know, in most years you're going to kind of – you wouldn't have put Nashville up there right away, would you? And now you have, and now you do. So Dallas was up there a couple of years ago, as I said. So, and even the Wild last year showed in the regular season that they're a pretty good team. So, you know, every year it seems like, you know, it's like one of those horse races where you have three or four teams just keep, you know, nudging each other out here and there. So that's kind of what it's like, I think. It's kind of feel that I get from that division for sure.
You know, they move up Scandella and they keep Jonas Brodin. Where is he at on his track as an NHL? Obviously he's a regular, but, you know, in development.
You know, and I guess, you know, it's funny. Every year when they do the Norris Trophy, you know, we all talk about what's the best defenseman, and it always comes down to guys who can put points on the board. But the truth is you need shutdown-type guys as well, and I think he is one of the better ones out there, one of the better younger ones. And he can add points, too. That's probably maybe another dimension that he has to add. But you know, his development in terms of being able to play both sides, he can, you know, he can be one of the better defensive-style defensemen out there. You know, I think his development is going in the right direction. I think he just needs to, you know, develop other small dimensions to his game. Maybe a little bit, you know, more grit, a little bit more, you know, finesse in terms of the offensive side of the puck, things of that nature. So, you know, hopefully that starts to come for him. But, you know, you gotta pay some respect to the guy who can help shut things down. Just as much as a guy who can, you know, be the offensive side of the puck, too.
Nowadays, teams are always looking for young guys coming up. Joel Eriksson Ek is likely the top young prospect for the Wild. What do you like about him, Mike? And do you see him being somebody who's going to be a regular and possibly maybe even you know, a lower-end impact guy for them this year?
I think so. I mean, he's a mature-type player. He doesn't look like the young player. He doesn't look the young years that he is. He's got good size and strength. He comes from a hockey family. You know, it's in his blood, so to speak. He's a good sized kid that uses his size well. He's a smart player. And so I see good things coming from him. You know, he stepped in early in the season and played 9 games or so for the Wild and then went back to Europe. And when we came back, you know, it was the league changes obviously during the course of the year. But I see him developing into a pretty good player. He's got a good scoring touch, but as I said, he's a smart player. He's a good two-way player, and most European players are. They learn how to play the two-way game, and so I think that there should be some good signs for him. He's not flashy. One thing I noticed about him that really caught me off guard right away was the fact that he was very mindful about how long he was on the ice. And he was out. I don't think he spent longer than 30 seconds on any shift that he was in the first 9 games that he played, because he's just very conscious about his game. I mean, he's very smart. So hopefully some good things, but like I said, he's not a flashy player. So he's not going to necessarily wow you with any, you know, feats of strength or speed or anything like that. But just a very, very smart two-way player that gets the job done.
We're going to take a look at this group. You know, I see the two veterans there, Suter and Zach Parise. These two guys keep pushing the pace, but you know, are they living up to the billing that was their contracts they signed together a number of summers ago?
Well, Parise's had some injury problems the last couple seasons, so that's kind of set him back a little bit. I mean, Parise plays a type of style that is not conducive to long careers. He just when he is playing well, unfortunately, the style that he is accustomed to playing, or the style that has made him successful over the years, is also one that gets you beat up a lot, because he, you know, it pays the price to go to the front of the net, and if he tries to stay away from that, or he tries to play differently than that, well, then it's not his game. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up this year, next year, you know, down the road here, because, you know, he's starting to run into those problems from an injury perspective that, you know, keep him out at different segments of the year and for different reasons. And they may not be really long-term things. They may be, you know, 2 to 5 games here and there. But that kind of breaks your rhythm. It breaks the rhythm of the team, too, not to have a guy like that in the lineup. As far as Suter, I think he can play till he's 50. he plays so smart. I mean, he's one of those kind of defensemen that uses such smart leverage when he's out on the ice that it doesn't look like he's doing anything, but when you watch him closely, he makes a little shove here, a little push there, a little poke check here, and he always seems to come out of the puck with the corner, whether he goes in first or second. He's just a very, very smart player. He uses pressure points really well, knows the game very well. So, you know, I think Suter is definitely living up to it. Hopefully Parise can step his game up and also be a healthy player, because I think that's going to be the most important thing for him.
Mike, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful summer. We'll talk to you in the fall.
Take care, guys. You bet.